The number of those fleeing for safety is heading beyond the 2 million mark. My first guest, the Pakistan High Commissioner, Wajid Shamsul Hassan, defends the military action being taken and describes the Taliban as a threat not only to his country, but to humankind as well, and says they need to be eliminated. Dr. Farooq Bangash, a security analyst and supporter of the Pakistan Muslim League, Nawaz Sharif, has no love for the Taliban, but he is a fierce critic of the army deployment and what he sees as US interference in his country. He is author of The Birth of a Bomber, and despite his academic background, in the book he describes himself as a bit of a foot slogger who has spent the worst times of his life straddled across the Durand line with rifle in hand. More of that later. Taji Mustafa is an activist, writer and speaker who is deeply critical of the Pakistan military action and US drone attacks in the tribal region. He is a member of the executive committee in Britain of Hizb ut-Tahrir, a global Islamic political party. Completing today's quintessential quartet is Amir Gowri, a London-based journalist of Pakistani origin who was a former director of news for a Pakistan TV station, as well as a journalist, newspaper columnist and political analyst. He observed in one of his recent columns, "What is becoming of Pakistan? A country killing itself with bombs, bullets and rulers' blabber to find justifications for what is going through." But I want to start first with you, Your Excellency. Surely you were exaggerating when you said that the Taliban were a danger to humankind.
Was I exaggerating?
I'm asking you.
Well, I underestimated them when I said that. They're worse than that. What havoc they brought in Pakistan, dislocation of millions there, and about 2 million people have been dislocated because of them.
But it wasn't the Taliban they were fleeing, surely.
They have been killing people, innocent people. Mm-hmm. They have been stopping girls to going to schools. They have been destroying their schools, hundreds. They have been stopping women from work. They have been stopping people from earning their livelihood in Pakistan. And they have been indiscriminately committing terrorist acts all over the country. So how could one describe them? You know, in Islam, if you kill one innocent person, you kill the entire humanity.
Well, you've given a description of what's going on in the tribal areas, and of course, Dr. Farooq Bangash, this is your hometown, your home region, as you said, your backyard where you were a footster. If you can elaborate a little bit on that and then give us an assessment of what you see playing out there.
First of all, we have to understand the mechanics of the Taliban operation astride Durand Line. Now, there are two theaters of war. One is on the eastern side of Durand Line and the other is on the western side. Now, if you deeply look into it, now, since 9/11, after 9/11, now, America is engulfed in war in Helmand, in Kandahar. It's down southeastern region of Afghanistan. Whereas the Taliban, our Taliban, astride this side of Durand Line, they are in South Waziristan, North Waziristan, and then go on further towards north till Bajawar and then turn right towards Swat. So after 9/11, when Musharraf took a U-turn from his policies and he couldn't block the Durand Line, now I would say basically we are a lackey of America. You know, this is not a sovereign state altogether. If by then Musharraf had taken a resolute stand and wouldn't, succumb to the demands of America, where it is totally irrational that astride us, we have got Ghazni, we have got Gardez, we have got Paktika, and they are totally tranquil. We don't find any sort of, volatile, war going on over there. So how come the Taliban on this side of our region in Pakistan are totally, I would say they are criminal militants. They are not Taliban who are fighting for their independence or, for eliminating the American forces from Afghanistan. We should understand their mechanics. Now, first of all, after 2005, things changed altogether. Till then, the problem was a small problem. But then later it came into a big problem. And I would say Musharraf was the person who really damaged this country. Like His Excellency said, militarily we can win, against Taliban because they are not that in huge number. They have got a couple of leaders, for example, Baitullah Masood, You know, Haqqani or Hakimullah or Sufi Muhammad, I can count them on fingers, you know. And their number shouldn't be more than 5,000 to 6,000, you know. But then the way the deterrence or the terror that they have spread in the minds of people, for example, in my town, a single Talib coming in or Taliban coming in and telling me to be, you know, I have to give him, for example, ransom or whatever. So that's the deterrence or threat that they have really spread among our people. Secondly, I would disagree what you said that the people have been, you know, displaced. They have been displaced voluntarily because what these criminals do when the army goes for an action, now they take refuge in the built-up areas. So the army has got very limited or less choice to take, you know, to take action against them. By and large, I opine that, you know, this in the words of army, this has to be sort of final operation against Taliban. But to me, it is contrary to that. The Taliban are more, you know, tactful. They know the, you know, ways and means of ambush and raids. And to any extent the army advances, they are going to withdraw. And the tribal area is such a tough area. For example, they can capture or they can, you know, clean Swat maybe in 2 months. But then where are those Taliban gone? Now they can go towards Chitral, they can go towards any other area.
But you're talking about 5,000. Taji Mustafa, I mean, you know, 5,000 militants that the government wants to be rid of. Is it taking a sledgehammer to crack a nut?
Absolutely. And I think the ambassador's first opening lines were very telling. 2 million people were displaced by this action. 2 million people did not leave their homes voluntarily. The Pakistani political leadership right now, Mr. Zardari, is doing something which the Zionists, the Israelis, did not achieve in Gaza. They bombed in Gaza, they did not succeed in kicking out 2 million Palestinians. They're succeeding here in Pakistan, this leadership.
Well, I think the difference is that the people in Gaza had nowhere to run.
Let's be very clear. Let's be very clear.
Today, this action is on behalf of America. Today you have Pakistani, the sons of Pakistan in the army are turned against their brothers, the sons of Pakistan, living in the tribal areas.
They're killing our people.
This idea that a few thousand Taliban or whoever could threaten 700,000, a 700,000 army, the seventh largest army in the world, could be overrun by a few thousand people in the tribal areas was a nonsense, and I think it was designed to get us to where we are today, to give in to the pressure from America to turn Pakistani fighting Pakistani. And the only one that benefits is Mr. Obama, whose crusade, his war of terror, has now been exported from Afghanistan, and he's been saved by Pakistani fighting
Pakistani.
But this
was something that was started by George W. Bush. Are you saying that President Obama is just carrying on that legacy?
Actions speak louder than words. He's escalating the war in Afghanistan. He's talking about Pakistan is the center of the cradle of terror in the world. It's become clear that Pakistan is no longer a so-called ally of America in the war on terror. It has become the target. The disaster is that there is a government in Islamabad who has become a lackey of America, who are willing to fight their own people, its own citizens, turn them against each other at the behest of a foreign power. And that's a crime.
Is that a fair assessment, Amo?
I don't think so. I think there is a lot of emotionalism in this, you know, appreciation. I personally believe that there is definitely a trust deficit between Washington and Islamabad. I personally believe that Washington and Islamabad are fighting two different wars. But whatever Pakistan Army is doing, I believe that Pakistan Army should have done it, you know, years ago. We know that, you know, the Pakistani Taliban, who is touted as Pakistani Taliban, was Baitullah Masood, and the operation against him is not with this sort of ferocity, which is Sufi Muhammad. Pakistan Army is now fighting a war exactly like the war was fought in Iraq, where, you know, the footage, the coverage is being provided by the army. Pakistani journalists are not allowed in the area. And the reports we are, you know, coming from those areas, from independent journalists who speak different language on their channels and write different reports on their papers. And when they speak, you know, independently on telephones, they are confused, you know, where this war is going. As far as, you know, displacement of these people, I agree with, you know, what Bangesh has said. This is a tactical movement of these people out of that area, because these Taliban used, you know, not only hold these people for ransom, they were, you know, killed by them. So technically, Pakistan Army cannot afford a manslaughter inside Pakistan by their own army. We have learned a very strong lesson in 1971. Pakistan Army cannot do this in Balochistan, in Fatah. That's why these people, mind it, yes, you know, these people are going through horrible, you know, weather and conditions, but they're not losing their lives. Once this area is rid of these monstrous killers, you know, people will go back. At least they have a chance.
It's amazing you said people are not losing their lives. People are being killed in Mingora. Muslim is killing Muslim. I mean, what do you say they're not losing their lives?
I'm not actually kind of confusing these two things, because Muslims, criminals will kill innocent Muslims.
The innocent person in Mingora, we're not talking of Taliban. The people, the men and women, the Jan family who were reported the other day, are Muslims, innocent, who are being killed.
Well,
let's
just check the full scale of this humanitarian disaster in the making, as seen through the eyes of a Press TV graphic designer. Since the beginning of May, when the military action began, 1,454,377 Pakistanis have fled from their homes in the Swat Valley, Lower Dir and Buna. 553,916 Pakistanis have fled the tribal areas since the trouble began in August 2008. Of all the displaced people, 1,323,427 are sleeping with host families and friends, while the remainder are forced to stay in schools and makeshift camps. Those who have been displaced have now flooded the registration centres, around 90, and they are in Mardan, Suabi, Nowshera, Peshawar, Kohat, Charsada, Abbottabad, Manshera and Haripur. Taji Mustafa, four different guests, four different opinions, but everybody seems unified in disagreeing with you. Why are you out of step?
Actually, I would argue that I'm in step, because today, the human tragedy we're seeing there. I mean, when there's war, we can sit in a cozy studio. There are real people who are losing their lives, innocent civilians, to collectively punish 2 million people and displace them from their homes and kill them. You're going to create more hatred between Pakistani and Pakistani, Muslim and Muslim. You're going to displace people. What's the aftermath of this? And I think it's amazing this government has shown how beholden it is to the US government and the British government, that it is willing to turn the sons in the army against the sons in these areas.
Well, let's go, go to the ambassador, because it's dying to come in there. Yeah. What is the relationship with America and the reality of what is happening on the ground?
We have always had very good relations with the United States. And with my all respect to Mr. Pangash, chief PMLN leader, in 1999 went to America to stop Indian attack on Pakistan after Kargil. And he begged him to stop it. This was President Clinton. That's besides the point. Now, this government is a democratic elected government. Mr. Zardari, who is very critical, was elected by the people, representatives, more than 70% of votes he got. The Prime Minister got unanimously elected. Senate got through consensus. The whole government represents the people of Pakistan. And it was people of Pakistan through their parliament endorse the decision of army action against these Taliban or terrorists or criminals, whatever you call them.
So the army is acting for the people?
The army is acting under the command of the constitution, under the provision of the constitution in the defense of the country, to get rid of these people who become a threat and who are not only occupying, say, Sawat. When they signed...
But how are you going to get rid of them?
Let me complete. When they signed the peace agreement, this Sufi Muhammad, he committed to lay down arms. Instead of laying down arms or restoring peace in the area, his people started getting more and more territory. The objective of these people was to capture more and more territory in Pakistan, to the extent that entire media, Western and Pakistani, started crying hoarse that they are 60 miles away from Islamabad. So it was, whatever action has been taken to save the country from this scourge.
What, you think that the Taliban would have come into Islamabad eventually?
If we had allowed them a free hand, then they would have definitely.
Farooq Bangash?
I would totally,
Taliban in Islamabad?
Yeah, I would totally differ.
They were already there, Red Mosque.
Yeah, different issue. Red Mosque is totally a different issue.
No, it's not. It's all interrelated. Okay.
Now, as far as the conventional, fighting of these Taliban is concerned, when I saw that they have occupied 38% of the NWFP territory or the Fatah, I think that is totally baseless. They are just in 3 or 4 districts. And if you really measure that in terms of, geographic location, it will be maybe, it's not more than 5%. They are in Swat, they are in Bunair, they are in Lower Deer, and they are in my area, Hangu, and in...
Well, you're a refugee, aren't you? You're homeless.
We are ourselves refugees, because we have migrated to Islamabad, to Rawalpindi, because we can't live over there. Now, the problem is, let me clarify one thing, that army is at the, it is only one force in Pakistan which matters. Whether it's Mr. Zardari or somebody else, they're all puppets. They're all puppets in the hands of America and on the other side in the hands of army, with due apologies from him. Now, what happened exactly? Basically, when this, this regulation was signed between the NWFP government and the Swat, Sufi Muhammad Tahrik and the Fatah Sharia, army wanted to show the true face of these criminal militants to the Pakistani masses. And they have successfully done that, I think, within a month. This operation was well planned beforehand, and they just wanted sort of an alibi to launch their complete successful operation. Now they're into operation. Sorry to again come back to that 16 miles or 60 miles, As long as we have got a unified army in Pakistan, we can never even think of the Taliban's, coming out of even NWFP. They have shrinked. The tactics of Taliban, earlier mentioned that they have never fought a pitch battle against military forces. They resort to ambushes and raids. That's it. Now, I would just request one thing, that at present, there is a dearth of political leadership in Pakistan. Mr. Zardari has come, of course, through a very, I would say, predominant parliament. But then we do know that he lacks leadership traits. We do have a sort of susceptible, a doubt about his really being a true Pakistani.
But he was the choice of the people.
I'll just say one thing, because last week when he said that he is going to roll down the nuclear program of Pakistan.
When did he say that?
Last week.
He didn't say that.
Sir, he said.
He didn't say that. I dispute that, and I challenge
him. Had he said it, frankly speaking, he would not have been sitting in Islamabad.
As a matter of fact, yesterday, when this question was asked to him about the...
Rahman Malik denies every time. He is not credible, he is not predictable. Either you talk of
Mr. Zardari or Rahman Malik. Now let me finish with Mr. Asif Zardari. There was a story yesterday that Pakistan is increasing its nuclear arsenal in New York Times. Mr. Zardari was asked a question by the media. He said, why should I answer you that? He should have said no. But why should he? Because he is the president of the country. He knows where we are. And why should we roll back, or why should we do something at the command of the Americans?
Has ever in the history of any country happened that America giving us an ultimatum of 2 weeks that put yourself right, otherwise we have got other options to, dismantle you and bring army or Nawaz Sharif or somebody else? Now, can you answer for that? Why did they say, and what was the reaction of Zardari? He went straight away to Washington.
Let me ask you, when did they say that we give you 2 weeks?
There is confusion in Islamabad, and it actually happens when military will leave after a decade of, strong government. They will not allow Pakistani politicians to grow, to nurture, to be, trained for the job. And when they leave out of sudden, because, one day they find that they cannot, sustain themselves, they leave. And they leave with politicians who remain untrained, at times committed.
So what are you saying about Mr. Zardari?
I'm saying the confusion is, Mr. Zardari is definitely, and his government is confused. Why? Because why enter into some sort of dialogue and offering them peace deals, this deal, that deal, to the same criminals? You know that they're criminals. And this is not the first time Pakistani media has said it. They have been saying this about Taliban. They've been saying that, we should see the back of these Taliban. If we have a popularly elected so-called president in Afghanistan, these over 2.5 million Afghan refugees should go back.
Well, you've brought in Afghanistan now, right at the point where we're heading towards a break, so quite timely. Before we go, as usual, there's a question Who is the leader of the Pakistani Taliban? I'll give you a clue. Like his Afghan counterpart, Mullah Omar, he's very camera shy. Well, if you're eager to know, you've got to stay tuned for the answer.